Hello, everybody, and welcome to a very special moment in our RHAP history because it is the first official recap of Survivor New Zealand. I am your host, the Survivor Know-It-Oz, Nick Iadanza, and I just want to say that it is such an honor to be joining the Rob Has a Planet family. I couldn't be more excited. I want to thank you all for joining me, and I just want to say thanks because so many people have reached out to me from the community over the past few months with support, encouragement, snake memes, the whole shebang. It means a lot to me. I'm certainly very new to this. I want to do you guys proud, and it's great to know that the whole RHAP family is behind me on this new venture. So, you know, people on Twitter, they called me the most enthusiastic Survivor player ever, but that was nothing compared to how excited I was when Rob asked me to be a part of the site, especially since I've been listening since I was, since 2010, since the very beginning, really. So before I ramble on any further, before we get into all that, let's bring in someone who's very special. She now has the distinct honor of being my first ever podcast guest. She can write that on her tombstone because it is a distinct honor. She's the idol finding strategic mastermind. She's my Australian Survivor Season 1 castmate. She's my secret alliance mate, but I assume we'll go into that later. It is Miss Phoebe Timmons. Phoebe, how are you?
Oh, I'm great. And that was like quite an intro. So thanks, Nick. And I have to tell you, the honor is mine. I'm like so excited to be a part of your very first podcast. And I'm a little bit concerned that that secret alliance is probably no longer a secret.
True. We'll get into that. So Phoebe, thank you so much for joining us. This is your first time on RHAP. I know that the Rob Has a Planet people out there have been dying to hear from you and get your take on how everything went with Australian Survivor, American Survivor. But before we do any of that, we're really here to talk about Survivor New Zealand. So before we get into those, I just want to remind everyone how this podcast is going to work. We're going to be recording hopefully on like a Tuesday or a Wednesday. It'll be one episode a week so we can give some people time to kind of like watch what's happening. We've got a new guest every week. I hope you, I think you're going to enjoy who we've got lined up, but I won't spoil any
like
of that now.
Got
so
the best on first though. Let's see, you know.
Well,
I mean, you can't, this is going to be the number one, you know, show, and then you're going to basically just go down downhill from here. So everyone, don't get your hopes up after this week that it's going to continue to be as good.
Okay, well let's see how we go. But I think that people will have big shoes to fill because you were someone in Australian Survivor who, you know, definitely was at the center of a lot of strategy, the center of a lot of big TV moments. And I think people are super keen to hear about your experience. But before we get into that, how have you been? What have you been up to since the show's been over? Tell me a little bit about what you've been up to.
I've been great. Yeah. Like it's been a while. And, you know, I remember talking to you not long ago, you know, Nick, so for people listening, Nick and I only met quite recently, came and visited and stayed with us. And I remember just saying to Nick, you know, one of the most fantastic things that have, you know, has come out of this experience is that it's opened up this whole community of people that we can engage with about Survivor. Because in the past, I've always been that weirdo amongst my friends trying to talk about Survivor. And they're like, Phoebe, just be quiet. Like it's weird. No one watches Survivor. You're a weirdo. Stop it. So it's amazing. So much opportunity and so many wonderful people into my life. And I'm so grateful for it because, you know, but
great.
For
well,
that,
look, I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I used to be the person who would watch it at home by myself. And then until I went on Survivor, I didn't realize that there were so many. So, well, to be honest, I didn't realize there were so many people in Australia who will still watch Survivor, but being part of the online community definitely does kind of help analyze and kind of like it definitely increases the enjoyment. So that's what we're here to do today, okay? We are here to guide people through the beginning of Survivor New Zealand. So big picture, Phoebe, tell me, what are you thinking so far? We're two episodes in. What do you think?
I am excited. I'm really excited. It's like there's sort of flashback moments, isn't it? Because they're not, but the accents are super cute. And it's sort of, it's like not so crazily dissimilar from Australian Survivor. You know, not seeing Americans on there.
I wonder if people like thought that our accents were as weird as we think theirs are when we listen to New Zealand Survivor. It's pretty funny. It's pretty funny.
Well, yeah. Well, totally. I remember when I watched the American season after I had seen ours, I thought it was kind of strange to be hearing all these Americans again. So yeah. Anyway, the accents are adorable. So that's great.
What are you thinking about the big picture, the return to a more basic format? Two tribes, yes, 16 players, yes. 40 yep. days as opposed to 39 or 55 for us. How do you feel about that return to more basic format?
I like that. I like the traditional format. I think it's a good way to start, particularly because you're introducing the game to a new audience. And I think keeping it simple is a good thing. I like that it's not, 55 days. That's 55 days is a really, really long time. Both physically, survival it's very taxing on the body. I was so depleted at 31 days. So 55.
Maybe that's because you weren't eating. That's because you didn't win any rewards.
I know. And I was so hungry. That was not ideal. That was definitely not ideal, was it?
It's well documented that the 55 days definitely impacts the strategy of the game, because people feel like that your mistakes have a lot longer to catch up with you. And I was definitely a victim of this. I know that you were as well.
You're preaching here, mate.
Many similarities, Phoebe, many similarities. So I guess 39 days is, I'm all down for seeing that 39 days. It lends itself to a more faster gameplay. But do you feel overall that they've captured the essence of Survivor?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you about that as well. I think that it'll be really interesting. I mean, we are talking about New Zealand Survivor, so we won't keep talking about Australian Survivor. But it will be interesting to see how season two goes on Survivor AU as well, because, I think it might be the opposite this season. We might have a slower pre-merge and more, I think people will have learned that, you're going to have to sit back in such a long season, because if you're an aggressive player, you can't play aggressively in a 55-day season. It's an ill-suited format for that style of play. So you can't do it or you're gone.
Good point.
But back to New Zealand, big picture. Loving the traditional format. I don't know about Redemption Island though. I think we've obviously liked the show about that.
We do. Let's save that because I'm pretty sure we've both got some pretty big thoughts on that. Look, when I look at Survivor New Zealand so far, the first two episodes, I enjoyed it. I really did. I think it definitely exceeded my expectations, especially when those first ads came out. Those were a hot mess. Those were terrible. And I thought we were going to see some like super budget version. And look, it's clear that they don't have the budget that American Survivor or Australian Survivor had. But it definitely has captured the essence. Like I look at the title sequence, I think that is really true to form. And there's a lot of things that they're trying to do. We can talk about the long list of things that aren't there. And I'm sure we'll get into those now at some point now. But I think that it captured the essence.
Absolutely. And even just like,
what do you think?
I love that, when they're walking along the beach and stuff, it's really tribal. It's really the setting is good. I'm excited that they're in, how are they pronouncing it? Nicaragua.
We got a lot of tweets about this, Phoebe. We got a lot of tweets.
Why are they elongating the vowels so much? I can't even do it.
It was like, welcome to Nicaragua or something. It was like Chewbacca failing French. Like it sounded so bad. Oh God. I'm not sure if that's how like we're supposed to pronounce it. And we've all been saying it wrong for many, many years, but
Nicaragua,
Matt, the host,
Nicaragua.
Well, he's Nicaragua. Yeah. I wonder how he would pronounce my last name. Idenzua or something weird like that. Well, now we're talking about the host. What did you think? Tell me, how did you feel about the host? How did you feel about Matt Chisholm?
I'm getting a good vibe. I think it's exciting. I mean, I feel like it's really difficult because big fans of Survivor, we are so accustomed to Jeff Probst that, you automatically kind of make comparisons. But I feel like the host needs to obviously make the role their own and throw their own personality and style into it and not depart too much from, what the show or what the audience is expecting of the host. Right. So I've got a good feeling. I think he's, I think it's the kind of thing too, you grow into the role. This is day one for him too, So what did you think?
Phoebe, do you remember day one on the mat when we arrived and Jonathan was there. Jonathan, I was his biggest fan, but there was a few teething issues at the beginning, but he certainly warmed up into the role. And I feel like that Matt is going to do the same. But so we're comparing all that. Let's do this. Ding, marry, kill. Okay. I want you to, you're going to ding one, you're going to marry one, you're going to kill one. We've got Jeff Probst, Matt Chisholm, and Jonathan LaPaglia. This is something that a lot of the, I got a lot of tweets wanting you to kind of like discuss about all three. What do you think? I'm going to give you a category and you're going to tell me.
I'll do it. But are you doing it too?
Sure. Look, mate, there's been no secret I would ding Jonathan LaPaglia like ding, ding, ding in a heartbeat.
Okay.
That guy is a stud. So I'm dinging Jonathan.
Okay, you're dinging him. All right. Okay.
What about you? What do you got?
Who are you going to kill? You got to kill one, right?
Look, I'm killing Matt. I'm sorry, Matt. You got to go. I'm marrying Jeff. I want the perks that come with being, you know, Jeff's significant other, and that is travel around the world, big fat bank accounts, and getting to stare into those dreamy eyes every night when he regales you with stories about what's happened on the most recent Survivor. Yep.
Look, Nick, I've got to say, great minds do think alike. I think I'm going to marry Jeff too, because I feel like marriage also comes with other benefits. So you kind of two birds with one stone with that. You're getting both. So that's why we're marrying Jeff.
All right. I like that.
I think I'm going to have to kill Jonathan. Sorry. Sorry, Jonathan. Going to have to kill him. I mean, look.
Can I guess why you want to kill him? Can I guess why you want to kill him? I think this may have something to do with him outing you at a certain tribal council, maybe.
Yeah, funnily enough, it does.
All right. Well, I think
I'm really kidding. I'm totally kidding.
You've said it now. You can't put the genie back in the bottle.
Oh, well, he's out then.
All right. Well,
and I guess I'm going to have to ding Matt. I guess so. If someone's going to do it may as well be me.
Well, Phoebe, I think Jonathan's going to be heartbroken. But let's move on to the next point. Let's talk a little bit about these tribes. Let's talk about these contestants, because one of the things that I think was a real plus for the show was the casting. Now, are they all standouts? Not quite. But what season does have all standouts? There are a few people that stood out to me.
We haven't seen a lot of everyone yet.
Yeah. Well, tell me, who's standing out to you so far?
Okay. Before, in the first instance we were seeing a lot of D to begin with, and obviously she's out, and we'll talk about that. Tony, same thing, we're seeing a lot of him, and you know, now he's out as well.
Isn't that funny? The two people that stood out, to me, they were the first two people that stood out on the whole show, and they're gone already. I'm not upset about that, but it was very interesting. Tell me about D. How do you feel about the Survivor superfan archetype? And I'm not just saying that because I'm one of them, but how do you feel about their chances going into a season?
Oh, I mean, it's tricky, isn't it? Because I think I think there's already a little undertone of the I want to be loyal. We're talking about trust. We're talking about I made a promise. The mateship sort of thing. There are some tones of that already, I think, which I hope are just going to disappear really quickly.
Yeah. Well, look, this whole mateship thing, which kind of followed, was like this big pall over Australian Survivor. This mateship, I think it's just manifesting itself in different ways. It's this idea of honor, maybe. This is what someone tweeted into us. Talking about the idea. It was Joel Malui said, are either of you worried about this honor talk turning into New Zealand Survivor's version of mateship? And that's definitely a concern of mine. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, it's definitely a concern for me too. I guess I sort of understand. My feelings are twofold. On the one hand, I think, okay, it's not necessarily a bad thing because we have to start somewhere. You know, the New Zealand audience isn't starting at season 30. The mainstream audience isn't starting at season 34, you know, developed game perspective that Americans can enjoy. So they need to start with the traditional values of Survivor, I suppose. And it's only, you know, having gone through our own season that I can appreciate that. It's, you know, it's so difficult when you're such a big Survivor fan to appreciate that they need to also develop this show for the mainstream audience.
Definitely.
I mean,
that's a really good point. It's a really good point. We look at it through our Survivor super fan lens or people that have watched it for many years. But yeah, reintroducing a show to a new audience is a huge deal. But I'm glad that there are a few of those people that feel like they're willing to get their hands dirty. So we mentioned Dee, and we all know what happened to her. First person voted off the show. But who are the other people that you feel are willing to kind of like get in there and mix things up a little bit?
Okay, so you mean, so you're saying who are the other people that are going to get their hands dirty besides from Dee? Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Who are the snakes? Who are the other snakes out there? Who are the people that are willing to play the game?
Someone else put their hand up. Did you see who that was? You know, like, I understood what Dee meant as well. You know how she at Tribal Council was saying, look, I didn't say I was going to be the villain. I'm saying, if it gets to it and if it's called for, then yeah, whatever it takes. She's a Survivor super fan. It makes sense. But I guess, maybe.
Well, let's talk about that moment. Yeah. They're on the mat. Matt says to them, is anyone here willing to say that they would be identify as the villain if it meant winning? And Dee puts her hand up. Obviously. Yeah. The show is selling to us that is the wrong move, and I agree. But why do you think she did that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure why she did that. I don't know about you. I didn't tell anyone that I was a Survivor fan at all. I said I'd seen a little bit of it. I never suggested I'd seen basically every episode and been listening to RHAP for years and podcasting and, you know, what did you do, Nick? Did you tell people you're a big fan?
So I definitely did not. And in the early days of the vow, it was very clear that Craig wasn't hiding that he was a fan. But Andy and myself both did hide that. And it wasn't until after I was voted out that I thought, you know what, I'm going to go home anyway. For the voted out the first time, that I thought, I'm going to go home anyway. And I just kind of like was a bit more loose with my knowledge of Survivor and let people know. So I definitely tried to keep those cards tight at the beginning. And in Dee's defense, I think she did the same. It wasn't until she was completely voted out the game after Redemption Island that she did try and, you know, spill the beans. It's the enthusiasm. Yeah. It's the enthusiasm that kind of came through. I want to put my hand up. I want to play. I want to get involved. And I can identify with that. Yeah, look, it was definitely the wrong move. You never want to self-identify as someone that's a villain at the very beginning. But I see where she's coming from. I sympathize with you, Dee. I sympathize. Just that fact that you've been waiting for so long.
I know. And it does kill me, you know, knowing that that's sort of, you know, that passion that she has for Survivor, because you know what it's like, you know, afterwards you think about it, you wonder, I can imagine that's tough. That's very, very rough.
Dee, if you're listening, to draw. Don't beat yourself up over it. Just next time, try and rein it in. Try and rein it in.
Yeah, can we also just say, like, she had a day. I mean, a couple of, was it day one? Wasn't it?
Yeah,
wasn't that vote on day one? Like, that's not fair. Yeah. That's ridiculous. Okay, it's the first day.
So how do you feel about that? So they're told on the first day someone's going home. Why do you hate that?
Because it's not enough time to ingratiate yourself, to make impressions. I mean, it's day one. You don't know enough. People are still getting used to, you know, the jungle as well as the cameras and production and each other. And I feel like you should be able to get 3 days so you can really get a read on people. And I think that it's sort of, it is a really short straw for the two people voted off. And they're already realizing it with Hannah on the other tribe in that, you know, it was a judge the book by its cover situation. They all found her lovely. So she actually did do everything right. No one has said anything bad about her. In fact, everyone has just commended her and said that she's lovely and, you know, and I think Tony was visibly upset in his confessional when he realized that they just thought she's physically a liability for whatever reason, and that seemed to be the whole justification for that vote. It's not enough time is my point. It's just not enough time. Like, they should have at least done a challenge together or something like that before the two tribes had to go and vote.
Look, it's definitely not enough time. And you know, you bring up this point of Hannah. She is, you know, trying to prove herself, probably almost too much, trying to prove her worth. But, you know, I feel for her as well. Like, she didn't have time. And what happens when you don't have time? People just do it based on, you know, who's the first person, who's the person that I think everyone else is going to vote for. Let's put it on this girl that doesn't look physically fit and that someone who's not going to fit in. She looks a little different, and she definitely drew the short straw. You talk about Tony. You say that Tony, you know, it was visibly upset. Did you think that was weird? He transitioned from talking about shooting people and that he's killed people before in the army, but then he's crying that he sent Hannah to Redemption Island on this, like, reality TV show. She's not dead, Tony. She's not dead.
It was life and death in the game, and isn't that the same thing? We're talking about people's dreams here, Nick.
All right. So you mentioned before that someone else put their hand up when Dee put theirs, and that was Shayna. Now, we're getting a lot of stuff about Shayna. What is your initial impression? She's the business support officer. She's got strong links to Sala and these other characters. What do you think of Shayna?
Of Shay? I mean, I'm not sure. I'm finding, like, I feel like I need more time to get to know everybody. She's obviously in a pretty good spot pretty early. I mean, she seems to be like, she seems like she can kind of pull the numbers on both sides there. She had the Four Alliance with Tony and is it Sala?
Sala, yeah.
Yeah, Sala. Who else is it? Shannon?
Well, look, this.
She had them, and then she starts talking to the guys, and then she's got them. Oh, yeah, it was Louisa. Yeah, sorry, I was thinking of the wrong tribe. Sorry, I'm still getting to know the tribes, everyone, you know.
Yeah, look, I do not know all these people's names. It'll come to us as we continue to watch. But I think what's interesting about Shayna is that she was the one who put her hand up as well and then quickly pulled it down when the heat was, you could see that everyone was shocked that that Dee put her hand up. You know, she was in there in that first challenge, kicking sand in Nathan's face. You know, look, she's definitely got a few issues. She's making it very clear that she's got a link with Sala, but she says, you know, he's my brother from another mother, you know, doing all these things. But I think that what she's got on her side is this flexibility. She says, I want to be the good person who does a decent thing, but then I want to be a survivor. And we've seen that twice now. She's turned on people who have been with her. So I do think that Shayna might be one to watch.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I was getting at. She's in a good spot. She's got the ability to – she pretty much could have called the shots on this vote, and she probably did, because she could have pulled the four together pretty easily and stuck with her guns, and they could have gone for Tom or whoever. And, you know, she also had the option to flip and, you know, go the other route. So she's obviously got some influence. The only thing I would say is I'm just a little bit concerned at this point about her consistency, because I'm still not sure about her style or where her head's at. I don't know. If I've seen enough reasoning in the confessionals, like I haven't got enough, behind the reasons for those decisions. And that's what I like to understand.
She's definitely getting the strategist edit. Like, she's definitely at the center of a lot of discussions. People feel comfortable coming up and talking to her, and that's always a good place to be. I wouldn't know. Yeah. I've never been in that situation.
I feel like I have been at Aganoa.
right. How did that feel, Phoebe? How does it feel?
How did that feel? Look, I got to say, Nick, it felt real good. No, I mean, I think when you're going to sit in the middle of, if you're going to put yourself in a swing vote position, you just have to be really careful. I don't necessarily think it's always a good place to sit because Often it can mean that you're sitting on the bottom of two alternative alliances. It doesn't always mean that or anything, but it is a possibility. And I think that, you know, floaters and people who play like that often upset other people. And there's a lot of reasons why you shouldn't do it. I think you should only do it if it makes a lot of reasonable sense to do so. And in my case, it did because, you know, we had the girls on one side and the guys on the other, and it was really easy to sit in that space because there was no threat or opportunity for those, you know, alternative
groups to come together.
Yeah, they were never going to come together. So that was really obvious. But in this case, it's kind of the same thing. Like it doesn't look like, I mean, Tony and Tom are totally gunning for each other. So it seems like a pretty safe spot for her to sit.
I'd agree with that.
Like it doesn't seem as though she's going to be ruffling or rustling, whatever.
Ruffle, rustle
feathers. I don't think she's going to be like, you know, doing too much damage. My only concern, I guess, was maybe with Sala because he, you know.
Okay. Well, let's some quick takes.
He didn't really want to vote Tony, did he?
Tell me about Sala. So like, obviously I've got a few people who have hit me up on Twitter and said there's strong parallels to Barry Bazza from our season from the Vow Tribe. But I'm not really seeing that at the moment because Sala seems someone who is very willing to get into it and keep his finger on the pulse of the game. He's got people coming to him. He wants to talk about strategy. Not all the time, but he's definitely much more into it than Baz ever was. He calls himself the social leader of the group. Are you liking Sala and what he's kind of providing for the show?
Yeah. Oh, I love him so far.
Okay, good.
I think that was probably why he was cast, wasn't it? To make the audience fall in love with him. He's got a very sweet persona and presence on the camera. So from what we've seen, it looks like he's going to play with his heart. And I mean, I don't recommend that.
No.
But, you know, it's like he seems lovely. What else is there to say? What do you think?
Well,
I don't see the Barry comparisons either. I didn't play with Barry, but
there's very few Barry comparisons beyond the physical. But there's something that he spoke about that really, really bothered me. And this is what I want to talk to you about. So
in the second episode,
when Tony is coming up on the block, Sala says, I gave him my vow. I'm not going to vote for him. But instead, he votes for someone else. He throws out this kind of like hinky vote. He votes for Tom, even though he knew that Tom wasn't going home because he saved. He said he had given him his vow. It's such a moralistic, hypocritical move because you're saying, "Oh, I'm not going to vote for that person," but you're happy to see them get voted out by everyone else.
I hate that. I know. I hated that on our season as well.
Oh,
it was dumb.
Phoebe, the amount of times I had to deal with that where people say, cool, no worries, we can send this person home. I just won't vote for them. It's like, well, you're trying just to save face and you're saving face with the viewers. You're not saving face with anyone else out there because everyone now is frustrated at you because you do not want to go along with the plan and you want to be seen as the hero to the people at home. And I may sound triggered, and it's because I am, because this came up a lot with Sam. It came up a lot with other people in the merge. And it was just really, really frustrating.
You're completely preaching. Yeah, I know. And you're preaching to me. Like, I think, okay, let me play devil's advocate here, because I think the counter argument, which I think some people would say, and I've heard people say, is, well, it's part of my strategy. I'm playing a loyal game and I want people to perceive me as loyal. So if I give someone my word and people know that I've given my word to that person and then I don't vote for that person, people will then continue to see me as loyal. And that is actually a strategy, and it's not about my heart or whatever else. It's me reinforcing my loyalty, and coming across, you know, in that way, making sure people continue to perceive me in that way. But in actuality, I feel like that's a cop out. I feel
I understand that. It's
transparent. Cowardly. You're in on the vote. If you're in on the vote, write the person's bloody name down with everyone else. Don't you think? Like,
I 100% agree with you.
It's cowardly.
It is cowardly.
It's like,
and
turning your back. It's like, honestly, it's like a person, you're on a surfboard with your mate, and your mate is getting mauled by a shark, and then you just kind of surf in on the wave and just pretend you didn't see, and then you get to the shore and you look up and you're like, oh my God, no, my surfer mate just got eaten by a shark. It's like, mate.
You're leaving people out there to burn. You're hanging them out to dry, and it sends a really bad message. It sends a really bad message that you don't want to play ball, and flexibility is one of those things that every survivor needs to have. And that means sometimes you need to make that tough call, and it's what Shayna did twice in a row now, and that's why she's getting more of the positive edit. And it just triggers me so badly, Phoebe. It triggers me so badly because it's so transparent. It's so transparent.
I remember Christy doing that on our season with Kat. She's like, I don't want to write Kat's name down and whatever else. And I think that her defense was something along those lines. I don't even know what it was. And I, in my head out there, I just thought, you know, she's going home. Like, why do you not write her name down? I mean, at the time it suited me anyway, because she wrote down Andy's name and it just made her a target next. And so I was quite happy for her to write down Andy's name, knowing that would happen.
That's a good point.
But yeah, I mean, I could, Andy's not the kind of person that comes back to camp and doesn't target the person that wrote his name down. So it was like, yeah, sure, you should write down Andy's name. Keep your word.
Good point.
Keep your word.
Well, look, it's not just Sala. It's Louisa as well.
Yeah, but then it's also kind of like, if that's the case, could that work to their advantage as well? In that if you're seen as someone who's flexible, who doesn't want to play the game, does that in a season like Survivor New Zealand, which is, you know, arguably got these undertones of mateship, does that then kind of make you less threatening?
I guess.
Because it makes you look as though you're not there to play.
I guess. I just know that I wouldn't want to play with someone where
does that in turn endear trust?
It's weird. It's like it's one of the reasons why at the first vote of a vow I targeted Barry, because he is just such an untrustworthy element in the fact that he is trying to be too trustworthy, and you can't control that. And that's just an element that you need to be removed from the game. And Louisa did the same thing. Oh, she says to Avi when he comes over and they're sitting at the rocks, she says something like, if you're with us, you know, we can carry you to the end, which is probably not the best thing to say anyway. But she says, if you're with us, we can carry you to the end.
I really picked up on that language too.
And totally. And then instead she says at the vote that she votes for Avi. And it's like, well, hold on. You're trying to keep your word by not voting out your friend Tony, but you just broke your word and what you just said, that you're with Avi with your pinky promise. So it's people who moralistically choose what they want to do, when they want to say it. That's fine. That's how you play the game, but just drop the act. And that's all I'm going to say about that, because I'm getting triggered and I don't like it.
I can hear the tone in your voice getting more and more
aggravated.
it's funny though, because I'm mirroring all of that emotion myself. I completely agree.
This is why
agree.
You're on the podcast.
You're playing a game. Yeah, just stop. No. Sorry, guys. Sorry, New Zealand survivors. Like, I love you all. I'm excited to continue to see you all play, but just
Well, let's
just
move
stop.
On to the next
Don't
point then. Let's talk about the opening challenge. So
I want to talk about that too. But can I just say on that note how they talked about on the rocks with Avi? Why did they tell Avi that they were going to go for Tom?
I'm not sure. They told him because they probably didn't know how close he was to Tom, and they were trying to test where his head was at, maybe. I have no idea. It's just add it to the list of things that, you know, what is Louisa doing? I have no idea. What do you think?
Well, I thought it definitely was a really good scene for Avi. You know, who's, I think that, and, you know, do we talk about the fact that Avi seemed to have some influence over that vote too? He seemed to put someone else's name out there, and that was the person that went home. So we haven't necessarily given due credit there. So I just wanted to.
No. Good point. Good point. That, he definitely you know? Did, was able to swing it over to, over to Tony. I think that what was probably the more shameful moment in the whole thing was Sala going back and telling Tony that he was on the block. I'm not quite sure why anyone would do that, but Phoebe, in your experience, what happens when you tell someone that they're on the bottom?
When you tell someone they're on the bottom, you never tell someone they're on the bottom. Like, I mean, yeah, definitely
there's
don't
a blind
do
sides for a reason. The blind side means you do not give someone chance to
never reveal the vote. Oh God. Yeah. No, you never tell someone they're going home. You never reveal the vote. They're going to find out when their torch is being snuffed. I don't think it's going to hurt any less if they find out at camp. All you're doing is opening up a can of worms. Never a good idea. I believe in the blind side. Just blind
side. Believe in the blind side. Hashtag believe in the blind side. I like that. I like that.
What do you think? I mean, you don't tell someone they're
absolutely
going home,
not.
Right?
You then give them a chance to then go around and scurry and discuss and if they can't wrangle a vote together, they can, you know, start throwing, you know, wild accusations out there because they're feeling, you know, really upset. And it's just an element that you don't want in the game.
Yeah. I completely agree.
Phoebe, let's
always blindside.
Let's transition to, let's talk about that opening challenge. So we had the Matt, two people on two mats. We've had the boat there of all the suppliers running back and forth, grabbing all the things. And then Izzy starts stealing from the other mat. Tell me about that. How did you feel?
I love it. I love it. I feel like it's great. Good strategy. You're doing the right thing for your tribe. Awesome. I love it. But sabotaging at the same time. I'm totally for it. What did you think?
Look, I thought that it was clever. I think that where she ran into trouble is she got a little bit greedy. If she had maybe taken a few things, she could have used that as like, hey guys, look at these extra things I got. But there was just such a disparity between the two mats that she really was opening herself up to being like, you know, the glaring spotlight was put on her. And what about giving the knife back? How do you feel about that?
Who gave it back?
So Izzy in the end decides that, oh no, we've taken too much. I don't want to leave anyone out here with a knife. And then she goes to give them a knife as like a peace offering after she's taken like a whole truckload of their supplies. It was not well received by anyone.
It's pretty hilarious. I feel like in the moment you're like, come on, you're in the middle of a challenge. She's not thinking, oh, I've taken too much. I think she's just thinking, I got to get as much as I can for my tribe, and I'm disadvantaging the other tribe. I don't think you're thinking, oh, I've taken too much. How is this going to reflect on me? Like, she wouldn't have had enough time to think like that. So then I think afterwards when she's looking at, you know, the misfortune she's now created for her adversaries, she's felt somewhat apologetic and given a knife back. I mean, they're better off with the knife. So, you know. Like, you know, I think it was nice that she did that.
Yeah, the biggest question from that whole...
It was like a pity. Like, she felt bad. Look, arguably, it shows she has a conscience.
Yeah. Phoebe, there's a bigger question that came from that whole Matt debacle, and that is this. What the hell does the phrase, that's so stunk, mean?
I don't know, but I want to know. I want to know.
It's strange. It's a strange one, Georgia. And do you know what? It wasn't just her. Someone else said it later on at Tribal Council.
I know. Is it a thing? Do we not know about this? Is that...
I'm not sure.
Is that a thing?
It might be a thing.
Who said it at Tribal? Was it Georgia again?
Was it Tom who said it later on? But it's definitely a thing. And we will be tracking this as the season goes on. The that's so stinkometer of stinky moves and things that are not great. And it just really stuck with me and I liked it. And I think it was
that was awkward. A really good impression of a Kiwi accent. I think you should do the rest of the podcast in the Kiwi accent.
I think that that would get some really angry tweets from our New Zealand listeners. So let's keep it to a minimum. Phoebe, I wanted to...
There's only like four people in New Zealand anyway. We'll be fine.
Now you're asking for trouble. You're asking for trouble.
I'm totally kidding. I also want to tell you, Nick, as a side note and on a tangent, I was walking home from the gym this evening, racing back because I was so excited for this podcast, and I realized that Drake is a Survivor fan, obviously.
Who's this?
Because he's written a song about it. Drake. Fake love. Well, fake love.
Right. Yeah. Tell us.
I'm listening to Fake Love, and I'm like walking home, and I'm like, oh, my God. This song is about Survivor.
Is this your new gym theme song?
Yeah, I think that they need to. This may be the best idea in the history of all ideas about Survivor. Maybe they should make Fake Love part of the theme song. I'm throwing it out there.
Well, look, we had people up in arms when Survivor...
Look up the lyrics and tell me I'm wrong. Look up the lyrics, tell me I'm wrong. Do that.
We had people up in arms later when Survivor's Destiny's Child was used as the promos for Australian Survivor. I would hate to imagine the type of calamity that would be caused when you change to Drake's new song. But everyone out there, go check it out. Tell me what you think, if it should be somehow incorporated because I don't know.
They should use it for the Australian Survivor promos then. Because it's too late for the New Zealand promos, obviously. But they could actually use Drake for the next promos.
Look, the New Zealand promos.
If they use that now, they better give me some cred. Because it's my idea and you guys have heard it here first.
Any worse, Phoebe. The New Zealand promos couldn't have been any worse, so why not chuck Drake on top?
No, Drake would make it better. What are you talking about?
All right, Phoebe, let's transition to now talking about this thing that, you know, a lot of people were turning their noses up at, on Twitter at this idea that it seems that the contestants know each other. Did you pick up on that?
Yeah, I heard that I don't know how much truth there is to that assertion.
It's been clarified for us. So Dee, the first person voted out, did an article where she mentioned that they had 3 days before the game started to hang out with each other and talk. Now, to me, that is absolute sacrilege. We know that in the American versions, there's, you know, a couple of days or to a week at Ponderosa where they're all in the same spot, but you're not allowed to talk to each other. So you pick up on body language, you know, things like that, but you're definitely not allowed to converse. And in Australian Survivor, I'm not sure if listeners are aware, we were sequestered away into lockdown and we were only able to come together if we were traveling in a car to a photo shoot together. And even that, we were under heavy lock and key. We were never able to talk to each other. We weren't allowed to look at each other and we didn't see everyone. I think I only saw like 6 or 7 other people before the game started. And Phoebe, you were one of them, but it definitely does change the dynamic and it allows this story to be crafted that the viewer is not a part of. So how do you feel about that when you hear them say, oh, all the people I've got a bond with are on the other truck or the other tribe. Sorry. How do you feel about that?
If that is true, and it's, I mean, based on what you've said, it sounds like it is. I don't like that. I feel like it does undermine the crux of the whole show because it's strangers coming together. And, yeah, they're strangers. They've only had a few days, but it's a few days without the pressure of the game.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, okay, it's pregame, so you still can't trust anyone, and I acknowledge that. But, you know, it's an opportunity to get comfortable with people, to get a read on people, to, yeah, observe traits in them, whether that's their body language or the way they present themselves, what they wear, the way that they speak. You can start to maybe understand a little bit about people in that time. And I think that's a shame because one of the things that's really interesting when you go out onto the island and even when you start to get to know the people in your tribe, you still know nothing about the people in the other tribes.
Exactly.
So the fact that they've got this, you know, information and I guess intel on people on the other tribe, I think that's a bit of a shame. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, look, you bring up day one. I want to ask you about day one. So day one, what's it like when you first arrive at camp and you're walking in with your supplies? You know, in this case, they knew that they needed to vote someone out. How do you position yourself in a tribe to make sure that you are safe? Now, we had a few more days than the New Zealand people did, but what is it? Look, there are listeners out there who maybe one day will be on Survivor, whether it's New Zealand, Australian, US, you know, Zimbabwe, something. Yeah. They might be listening. And what advice can you give people for that to survive that first vote? Because you went to tribal council the first time. Tell us.
I went to tribal council every time, except for one, which is really exciting when you go to tribal the first time, don't you think? Like when you're walking in and you're just like,
Phoebe, I got voted out the first time. So,
sorry, Nick.
Not quite as exciting for me, but yeah, I know what you're saying. The excitement of seeing.
Yeah, but you didn't know you were getting voted out.
It became very apparent very quickly. But thank you for bringing that up.
Okay, sorry. That's awesome. Yeah, so I think in terms of how do you position yourself, your actual question. Look, I think, okay, it's, for me, my feeling on that is, my experience on that is when we got to the island, clear and dominant personalities, were apparent to me straight away. And for me, like, I have a very big personality myself. I often have my own perspective or opinion on matters, but I feel like that's something that I do in my everyday life, and I did it on the island as well, is that I don't have to have my input or my two cents. I don't have to. I can if I want to, but I'm happy to just sit back and listen. And I think what you need to do is make sure you're obviously getting along with everyone and being outgoing enough to really, you know, mix with the tribe properly and ingratiate yourself. But I think what you need to do is, if there are you know, dominant personalities coming out, let them be, because they will come out. You know, they have to. So in New Zealand Survivor, Tony came out as the leader straight away. We saw that, and there were definitely mixed reviews on that. I know at Aganoa, Kat was straight away very directive, and she was immediately perceived as quite bossy. And so for me, I was like, okay, fantastic. That's great. I'm just gonna let that happen, because this, that's fantastic for me. And she was rubbing people the wrong way very quickly. And so, yeah, you know, Lee came out as a leader as well. Evan did. I think you just got to let people be bigger than you.
Okay. Well, answer me this. What's the most important thing to keep in check, or what's the most important thing to have on day one? Now, we know that everyone needs to have the social game, the strategic game, and the physical game. So in this instance, on the first day, what's most important? The social, the strategic, or the physical? We'll call that, you know, working around camp. Which of those three would you say is the most important for day one?
Social, 100%.
Social?
For me,
I'd have to agree with you. Like, in the first days, in the early days of Avow, everyone was so scared to be voted out, but everyone got on really well. And the people who were on the outside were Andy and Tegan, but that's because they were not socially integrating. Everyone else was kind of like getting along really well. And I got along great with Tegan, and, you know, I could chat with Andy, but, as a tribe, they definitely sat at the bottom, and that wasn't because they weren't doing the most work or they didn't have the strategy. It was because socially. So all you Survivor fans out there who one day will be on the show, your social game has to be the most on point in those early days. Otherwise you'll be a D, you'll be a Dez, you'll be a Sierra Easton from Game Changers.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it was the same at my camp. The people that, were socially integrating were the people that were safe, and the people that weren't, Kat, Christy, Dez, at that point, Evan was really, really strong socially, and he was bringing a lot of lightheartedness and comedy. So I think, yeah, socially, just focus on getting to know people, not in a genuine way. You just be sincere, I think, at the beginning.
Haley Ford said, don't be a weirdo
version of yourself.
Don't be a weirdo. Don't annoy people. You'll be okay.
Don't be weird. Don't be creepy. Don't linger.
All right. Well, we've got something I want to bring up with you, and this is a little segment I want to call the close but no cigaragua. The close but no cigaragua. That is the things that are so close to being right to a US Survivor, but they're just close but no cigar. So, what are some of the things that stood out to you?
I love that the
producers are not doing exactly right, because I got so many tweets about one thing which has not divided the fan base. Everyone is on one side, but it's definitely set the fan base alight. What is it? You tell me. What do you think?
Is it the votes?
Is it the what? Sorry?
The voting. The voting cards.
It is definitely the voting cards. What the hell are they doing? They are folding the paper wrong. Logan Adair hit me up on Twitter and he said, why do they fold the parchment hot dog style? Why are they doing this, Phoebe? Why are they doing this to us?
I don't know. I want it to stop, though. I want it to stop.
It's really bad. And it's funny because little things like that, why do they bother
you?
Do
they all fold it like that? Because we don't see everyone fold.
Look, I'm going to blame the size of the urn they chose.
Did they get their own like autonomy over that? Did they just decide it themselves? Sorry if you can hear that rustling. I'm eating M&Ms.
I thought you were practicing folding a hot dog style.
No, I'm actually grabbing chocolate. I've eaten half a block tonight.
Look, as long as you're not folding that wrapper hot dog style, we all forgive you, because it is absolutely shameful. I've heard from a little birdie that's told me that they were told to do it that way because of the size of the urn. But either way, stop doing it.
I think they just need to get a bigger
urn. What else do we have? Close but no cigaragua. What do we got? Close but no cigarago.
Okay. So we haven't even talked about Redemption Island, but there's so much to talk about.
That's coming. That's next.
Can we just, the fact that, okay, giving them Flint on the first night, I feel like they look comfortable. I feel like I saw a pre-built shelter at Redemption Island. I feel like there's just too many comforts. That's a production thing, right? Like, do you agree with that?
Now,
bit cushy.
Now, Phoebe, this is something that a lot of survivors say when they come off their season. It's like, oh, back in my day, we had it so much harder. But look, I can tell you that we certainly did not have a mosquito net. Like,
I did not eat for the first 6 days, 7 days, maybe.
Yeah, it was.
I swear I saw that mosquito net. What was that?
Yeah, I don't know about you, but I certainly didn't have a mosquito net out there. And
mate, I didn't have a single luxury item the entire time I was there. Not one.
Hey, look, I can't sympathize with that. We certainly won things, but that's the point. You have to earn them. And they got you didn't earn them.
I want to punch you in the face right now.
Look, they got Flint on the first night, so they didn't really have that struggle of going, are we going to get fire? Are we going to spend a night without fire? And that was something that was really interesting. So there was a couple of other little stylistic things that bothered me, like the torches. They looked more like those little kind of garden citronella things. I'm not sure if that's what you thought.
I don't want to like be upset about it because I'm just excited to see Survivor New Zealand. So I'm like, yeah, okay. It's not as, like, the torch, it could have been more grand, but
look,
who cares?
No one's more excited than me. Like, any survivor is good survivor. I get to podcast about it, get to chat to you and all the fans, but it doesn't mean that when we see things, we don't go, that is not how they're supposed to look. I remember when we were out there in Samoa, that there would be things that I would look at and go, that's not how that's supposed to be done. The fans are going to hate that. Like, you know, having to call the first merge and things like that when it was a swap. Things like that really get under people's skin. And if you're out there and you're one of those fans, hit me up with the things that you've noticed for our next segment of Close But No Cigaragua, because not enjoying the folding. That's for sure.
Well, I think you're being just a wee bit harsh, Nick Iadanza. And I'm actually quite okay with them calling it a first merge because it means that I am dateable. So
you made it, you're dateable. There we go. Congratulations.
So I'm going to let that one slide. Obviously there are a few things and I think there could be, I didn't like that they did the vote on the first day. Like there's definitely some stylistic things. There are some production things, but it's still early. And you know what? I already felt like the second episode was stronger than the first. And so I'm still feeling like this season is going to be really good, despite the fact that there are a couple of, you know, there are some things that, could be improved.
Well, look, I think there's one major thing that you want to talk about. We alluded to it earlier, and we are going to get to some listener questions in just a second. But there's one big story that we haven't discussed yet, and that is the use of Redemption Island. So before we get to your thoughts on the production's choices around Redemption Island, what do you think of Redemption Island as a concept? Give it to me quick. Do you like it? Don't like it? What do you think?
I don't like it. How do you feel?
Look, it definitely hasn't been the best in the past, but I, as someone who got their second chance in their season without having to go to Redemption Island, I certainly appreciated the fact that there was a mechanism built into the game to save me. It definitely, provided, I think, a lot of good drama. Look, was it the right decision to bring Redemption Island back? I'm not quite sure, but, I think the biggest issue, and this is what I want to talk to you about, is how do you feel about production's choice to not inform the players that there was Redemption Island?
Okay. Well, that
Give
is
it
probably,
to us. Give it to
that's
us.
That's the biggest gripe that I have with it.
Okay. Why?
So firstly, I think the Redemption Island, I mean, I don't like it because I feel like it is a big disadvantage to strategic players that are playing well because it backfires. When you vote someone out and you hurt them and you, you've lied to them or you've broken your word, whatever you want to call it, people get hurt. People don't like it. People want to get you back. That's human nature. So Redemption Island is a really, I don't know, it's a tricky twist. They don't love it. So yeah, I'm not really a fan. And also I feel like for the first season, I like the idea of keeping it simple for your audience while they're still getting used to the game. And I don't know if I really like too many twists in general. And I know that obviously that makes sense because I was on the wrong, I know that I'm of course biased because I was on the wrong side of so many twists. And how could I not be a little bit biased? But I don't like the idea of tricking players either.
Okay,
and I
feel that's the important part here. Let's talk about that. So in your season, in our season, in your experience, you were essentially, you know, at the disadvantage of production choices. And this would have been the night that Brooke came to your tribal council from our tribe and she got to sit in and listen. And Jonathan LaPaglia, the host, spoiled what happened in previous tribal councils and mentioned that you had played all these immunity idols. Now, how did that change the dynamic of your tribe and your game?
Oh, well, extremely, because obviously the people that were on my tribe knew that those things had happened, but I think having someone spell it out so articulately and so such a complimentary way made them feel more alerted to the fact that, you know, these were very deliberate acts and that there was a lot of strategic play going on. And you know, they weren't as strategically minded. So yes, they were there, but I don't necessarily know that their thinking was aligned so clearly. So it really alerted my tribe mates as to kind of the level of, you know, the way I'd been playing. And so that wasn't very good. It alerted Brooke as well at the time. So that wasn't very good. Because even if she was never going to take me at that time, like if I happened to have got through to the next stage, I didn't have the opportunity to present the information to all of you guys the way that I would have wanted to have presented it.
Yeah. Look, that definitely makes sense.
It was sold in a very flashy way. And in my own, you know, my choice would have been to present it as I was on the bottom. Look how horrible and hard it was. Like, you know, not look how spectacular this has been. So I think for this situation, you know.
So how do you feel
with New Zealand Survivor? I think it's a bit different, obviously, but you've still kind of done the same thing. You've gone and you've had this tribal and you've led people to believe that this person is going home and you're not going to have to deal with them again. And, you know, then they come in and they do have to. So
how does the dynamic change in the fact that the show didn't tell people that they were voting them off to send them to Redemption Island? Would that have changed the way that they voted? Would that have changed the way that you approached the first vote if you knew you were sending people to Redemption Island? I'll give you an example. Would Shayna have turned on her alliance and voted out Hannah had she known that Hannah wasn't going that far and she was still having a chance to re-enter the game?
Quite possibly not. And, you know, I think the answer to your other question as well is that, yes, it may have changed the way they voted. Maybe not on the first vote in the case of Hannah, because it sounds like they were just thinking that she wasn't going to be very good at challenges. So maybe not in that case. She definitely proved that wrong very quickly, didn't she? I think, though, going forward, it definitely influences who you're going to be voting off. Definitely.
Okay, well, look. There was a lot of stuff that happened in this episode. There's a lot of good play, a lot of bad play. We've got an award that we need to give out. Now, Steven's got the fishy, and we've got all these other things that can tell us whether a player was good. That's whether they win the end of the season, whether they get a fishy. But there's nothing more prestigious than the award we are going to give out. Phoebe, what is it called?
Well, I think it's going to be called a Danzy, which I love. Tell me that it's a Danzy.
That's the Danzy. The suggestion was sent in by someone on Twitter. I can't remember who it was, but if you tweet me, I will credit you for it. I think it's a fun way to say, who do we think is playing the best? Who's someone that we both agree? Who would we give the Danzy to? Who are you awarding it to?
Oh, the Danzy. Who's it going to?
Because I want to make a case.
You make your case then. Go.
I want to give it to Shayna, and I want to give it to her for the reasons I said before, but I want to give it with an asterisk next to it. And I want to say that, Shayna, you get the Danzy
for your work this episode in being willing to be flexible and flipping on your alliance and reading the temperature of the group, etc. But I want to put an asterisk next to it because she's doing a lot of silly things. She put her hand up at the very beginning. She's made it very clear she has an alliance with Sala. And I just think in general, she's not thinking completely strategic, but there's a little bit of a strategic void. And of that Shayna rises to the top. So I'm going to put an asterisk on there. I will retroactively take it back from her if she continues to, you know, show these kind of first player, first episode jitters and doesn't realize that she needs to rein those in. But how do you feel about that, Phoebe?
I feel very positively about that. I think Shayna is a great choice for the Danzy. I mean, I was thinking Shay, the only other consideration for me this week was maybe Avi because of the reasons we talked about earlier as well. I feel like, you know, he did.
That's a solid pick.
Yeah, like his name hasn't come up at all. He got in with the girls there. He managed to flip their vote. He managed to keep Tom.
He's got a solid alliance member in Tom.
And he kept him there and he really wanted to keep him there. I mean, I think that he deserves a bit of cred there too. So, but I'm happy with Shay. I feel like the Danzy Shay is good. Yeah.
Look, if she doesn't straighten it out, we'll retroactively take off the first Danzy and we'll give it to Avi. So you better straighten up and fly right, Danzy. Shayna. It's a conditional Danzy. Hey, there's no free lunches here. There's no free lunches. You want it, you got to earn it.
You got to work right, for Phoebe, it.
You got to work for it.
I love it.
Phoebe, we're going to go to quickly to some listener questions because we've got a whole bunch here.
Okay.
Are you ready for those? Are you?
I hope so.
Keyed in to hear what the listeners have said. All right.
Go on.
So as the season continues, send in your questions on Twitter, on Instagram. Use the hashtag KnowItOz, KNOWITOZ, and I will try and take those. You can also post them in the patron group if you are a patron to Rob Has a Podcast. So let's kick it off. First question. Where are we? Phoebe, this is from Jeremy Barton. Phoebe, will you marry me? Guys.
Hi, Jeremy.
This is a strategy conversation.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to respond anyway. It depends on how big the ring is.
It depends if you do it hot dog style, Jeremy. Do you do it hot dog style?
I don't even want to know what that means. In
okay,
this
moving
context,
on, moving on.
Can we please? Jeremy, it's a yes.
Okay, good, good, good. Emily Forster says, Phoebe, do you think that idols will come into play this season as the idol queen? Look, between us, we had three idols. I think that's a pretty big undertaking. So congratulations to us. We should have some authority. Do we believe that idols will come into play this season?
I think so. What do you think, Nick?
Look, they damn well better.
That's
because
what I was thinking.
Look, it was a good couple of episodes, but
I'm ready
we
for
need
him.
Something that's going to kind of throw a monkey wrench in the works, and nothing does that better than an idol. So producers, if you're listening, you need something to spice it up. Idols is your thing.
Yeah. Yep. Agree.
Okay. Moving on. Ashley B wants to know, do you wish that your season had Redemption Island, Phoebe?
I mean, I doubt that I would have benefited from it, to be honest. So I'm going to say no. I feel like it could have only hurt me.
Look,
what do you think?
You didn't win any. You didn't win any creature comforts. That you might have got a mosquito net at Redemption Island.
I don't think so. I am only kidding, guys. Like I loved my time on Survivor. So I feel like I've talked about it. I feel like I've talked about it straight, like as if I like feel upset about it or something.
No,
I don't.
No. Everyone knows you loved it.
Good,
everyone knows that
good,
you loved it.
Good.
All right. Moving on. Emily Crowe says, should you ever answer a host question that's not directed at you specifically? This is a good question. This came up. They were, you know, at the end, he said, does anyone want to say something? Avi used it as a chance to restate his, you know, his point. But then Louisa jumped on board and there were a few other examples. Is it best to wedge yourself into conversation at Tribal or is it best to just sit there and hope that the host doesn't look at you? What do you think?
I don't think it's either of those things. I think it's just like, don't hope the host doesn't look at you. You might still have things to say. I feel like for me, I knew besides the day I went home, who was going home at every tribal I went to. So for me, it was always an information gathering exercise, not an information revealing exercise.
Okay.
So I tended to be quite quiet at tribal because there was no benefit in me speaking at tribal. I knew what was going to happen. So it was my purpose to just sit, listen, observe, make sure I was being attentive. You know, it wasn't my job to be talking.
I like that answer. Very good. Let's move along. Matt McDonald asks, are you disappointed by the lack of diversity with them casting no sheep for the season? Now, if any of you out there thought that we were going to get through a Survivor New Zealand podcast without a sheep reference, you were sorely mistaken. And there it is. So thank you, Matt McDonald, for lowering the tone. I absolutely love it. Let's keep moving. Phoebe.
Oh my God, that was so good.
Phoebe, Jeffrey Goldstein wants to ask, who has Christy upside? So Christy was the winner of our season. She had a lot of pros. You know, a lot of people say she's got a lot of cons, but I think that there are a lot of pros there. Who has Christy upside that could eventually be the winner here?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. And I'm saying this because we haven't seen enough of the other tribe yet because they won. And I feel like we've seen a lot more of – what's the other tribe called? Hermosa. I feel like we haven't seen a lot of them yet. So
yeah, we've got Hermosa and then we've got the Megatron tribe, as someone has sent in a tweet
Megatron?
Saying, Ben Martell has asked, are we all just going to call it the Megatron tribe from now? And do you know what? We certainly are.
Did you just hear me say Megatron? I did not even know that you were going to read that question and I haven't seen it. And I just said Megatron without even hearing it. So there's something about that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just said it.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. So definitely.
Phoebe, this is why you're the first guest. Jim Rosario wants to know, the Redemption Island challenge was dumbed down. Are they going to keep watering the challenges down? Yeah, it was clear that the rings were very close. It was much easier to get to them. It does seem like that the budget isn't allowing for the full scale of all the challenges there this season. How do you feel about that?
Well, I mean, we've only seen two, right? We've seen that one and then the blindfolded one. It's too early to say. I mean,
The blindfold. What are your thoughts? Now, it's a very well-known Rob has a podcast thing that our illustrious leader, Rob, hates the blindfold challenge. It's just one thing that he certainly does not like. I personally love them. Phoebe, where do you fit on this spectrum?
I feel like I don't have any great feeling about it. I have nothing to offer. I don't care about that.
Well, tell me this. Arvi's partner back home, when he comes back and says, good news, I won, I was out there. Bad news, I lost both my testicles in the first couple of days.
I do feel like that can be funny as long as it's like just a little bit, you know, a little bit of pain, not a lot. I don't want to see people get hurt, but like it is kind of funny when they run into
things. Let's spill the secrets here. Before the season, you get measured. You get measured by the challenge department. They know the height that these people's nuts are at. And they are making those little barriers.
They did not measure the height of your nuts. No way.
Did they measure how tall you were,
Phoebe?
Yeah,
they did, but they weren't measuring the distance between my feet and my groin. I didn't remember that measurement.
Phoebe, you're naive. They did it.
They did not.
You just weren't looking.
No. They did not.
You just weren't looking. Couple more questions.
Go on.
Kel Sherman asks, if the day one twist happened in Survivor AU, who were the first to leave, Aganoa and Vivao? I'll answer this straight away. Andy would have been the first person gone. No question. He was the first person on everyone's hit list until I went and did a certain quest, but we won't talk about that. But definitely would have been Andy for Vivao. Who would it have been for Aganoa?
I think still Des or Kat. I mean... Yeah, Dez or Kat. I don't know. One of them.
Kat?
It probably would have been Dez, but okay. It could have been Kat. It probably still would have been Dez. It would have just been if the guys voted Kat, because I don't ask girls, we wouldn't have voted her. Not at that point.
All right, Phoebe. These questions have come in on Twitter, people using hashtag KnowItOz and hitting us up. The Nick comparison with Tom is an obvious one, but who do you guys think is the Phoebe? Now, I got a lot of tweets about people saying that
Tom reminds me of them, maybe just a slightly less enthusiastic version. And someone else asked, what is it about young male teachers in Survivor that just scream, I don't trust you? So let's deal with those questions one at a time. What is it about young male teachers on Survivor that scream, I don't trust you, Phoebe?
You know, it's so funny because I remember thinking when I was watching Tom, I don't trust him. There's something so sneaky and nickish about him. And I don't know, he's just oozing untrustworthiness.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I think people just distrust teachers. A lot of people have bad teachers' experience. But let me tell you, we're very trustworthy. People trust their kids with us. We're very trustworthy. So let's go back to the other question. If Tom is the obvious Nick comparison, this is from Lewis. He says, who do you guys think is the Phoebe?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. Who do you think?
I'm not sure, but I think that I'm keeping my eye on Shannon. She's the zookeeper. She seems to have, you know, a good understanding of the game. She was someone who said we can't have all the girls coming together because then the guys won't split and they'll just try to pull one over. I thought that was an astute thought. And to me, the Phoebe is someone who has their finger on the pulse. So like you said, you knew who was going home most tribal councils. I would say that Shannon is our Phoebe. How would you feel about that?
Okay. Yeah, I think she's looking pretty good so far. Why not? Go with Shannon.
Cool.
Yeah, but I don't feel like anyone on Megatron is really giving me vibes. I don't know. I'm not looking at the game like that, by the way. And we just have not seen enough of the other tribe yet.
Phoebe, who's your winner pick? Last question. That's from me. Who's your winner pick? Who do you think's going to take it all out?
Oh, I don't like these kinds of questions. Because I'm very bad at them. Hey,
this is what people want to know. People want to put you on the spot and watch your squirt.
I don't want to be on the spot. Don't put me on the spot. I want to be somewhere else.
Look, okay. I've got a guy and a girl winner pick. So my girl winner pick is Shannon. I think that she's getting, you know, a pretty good edit. I like her points. She seems like she has a nice personality. Maybe Kim Spradlin upside. But I also think that Sala is someone, I think that Sala is someone who would resonate well with the people out there. And I think that he's also looking quite good. So they're my two winner picks. You can steal one of those if you don't like being put on the spot.
I like both of them. And so I will support them. And let's go with that. On the Mosa tribe. The other good-looking one.
The girl or guy?
The guy one.
Is it Michael, the model?
Michael, yeah.
I was getting Dodo edit from him when he went up to another tribe member and, like, said that he could be in the alliance without asking the tribe. But, I can see that as well.
What were they eating? They were eating something really gross off their tree.
Termites.
That's bloody gross.
Phoebe, what was the most disgusting thing you ate out on Survivor?
Snail. You?
A snail. Yeah, I would say the last papaya that had been half eaten by a rat during the night. I ate the rest of it. Pretty gross.
Yeah, look, that is pretty. I think Shannon's looking good. Sala, do you like Louisa?
Not at all. Sorry, Louisa, I'm just not feeling it. I think she's a lovely girl, but I'm talking from a purely strategic game perspective. I think she puts her foot in it with the things she says, and that will catch up with her eventually. But she seems insulated in a nice alliance. They all seem to like her, but I'm not sure if she's got the strategic chops for this game at 18 years old. So one to watch, I guess. Phoebe, that brings us to the end of our first podcast. Do we have a hashtag? Do you have a hashtag for the people who've made it all the way to the end, an hour and change into our first episode? What do you got for us?
Oh, we've got the
hot dog style.
Oh, that's pretty good. I don't know if we're gonna be able to beat that. Hot dog style.
Hot dog style. What about hashtag Megatron? Which one do you want to go with?
No, it's gotta be hot dog style, doesn't it?
All right, lock it in. Hashtag hot dog style, and put that on your tweets and let us know how you thought of our first podcast. Phoebe, thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you for having me on the podcast. Good chat.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Where can people find you on social media?
Oh, okay. So on my Twitter is Phoebe_Timmons, and my Instagram is at Beefy, just my syllables backwards. So, yeah, find me.
Well,
not in a creepy way.
Go check out what Phoebe's up to on Twitter and Instagram. and, you know, let her know how thankful we are for coming and sharing her insights. You can find me on Twitter at Nick Iadanza and on Instagram, same thing, at Nick Iadanza. I'd love to hear your thoughts. And look, it was our first podcast. We had a few technical issues early on, a few issues with the mics syncing up, but we got there in the end. And we hope you enjoyed this product. We hope you enjoyed watching New Zealand Survivor, and I hope that you will join us next week. Guests to be confirmed in the coming days, so keep an eye on my Twitter for that. Phoebe, thank you very much.
Thank you, Nick. Thanks. I'm excited to see you soon.
Bye, guys. Thank you. Woo!
Bye.